Okay, I got some oldies and goldies. Oldies but goldies. I just couldn't resist. So if you've never heard this, act like you, if you've never heard this, it's cool. If you've heard it, act like it's your first time. Of course, don't boo me like you did the first time. All right, ready? Signs you know you overdid it at Thanksgiving. Well, I ate so much turkey over the holidays, I decided to quit cold turkey. I told you. Okay. The rash on your stomach turns out to be the steering wheel burn. You overdid it for Thanksgiving. Number three, representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame called you twice. And number four, you receive a sumo wrestler application in your email. And my favorite, I'll soon be 63, and I finally shot my first turkey this week. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it scared everyone in the freezer section to death. Then I asked one lady, I said, "Does these turkeys get any bigger?" She says, "No, sir, they're dead." Okay, oldies but goldies, but you only get to hear them once a year, so okay. If I can get somebody to pass out as many as anybody, or not as many, but at least two or three to each person if they want. Here you go. This is important. At the end of the sermon, you're going to be needing this. The Lord really laid on my heart this year strongly. I do mean strongly. And I'm just going to sit here and do a lot of from the cockpit today. And we're not going to have our normal. We're still going to have a little bit of a PowerPoint, but not much of a PowerPoint. And I just really, really, really want you to think about something. How many are as close to God as you want to be? Raise your hand. Not a hand in this place. How many would like to know just one thing you could do today, one thing that could put you miles, miles closer to God? Just one thing. One thing. All right? Then you're at the right place. The Lord started laying this on my heart this week, and we did a little bit of this on Tuesday night, kind of, sort of. And it's so important. Get your Bible out and stand for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verse 11. I have a mini point. I don't have a PowerPoint. I have a mini point. Look at somebody and say, "God is so good. Then let him know it." And I like that candle there. That's so cool. That is awesome. And that light and the lighter fluid don't cost as much. Batteries are cheaper than lighter fluid. All right. And verse 11, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." You got to think about these terms he's talking about. Nothing did Jesus have put in his word that meant nothing. "Through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And the reason they stood afar off is because the Levitical law said they could not get within so many feet of anybody because of what they had. It was a dangerous thing, and it was very highly contagious. "And they lifted up their voices," and this means they actually lifted them up together at the same time, "and they said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourself unto the priest.' And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." This is so important. This is what God's been talking to me all week about. It's very, very important. "And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." He was not even under the covenant. Thank you, bro. "And Jesus answering said, 'Where were there not 10 cleansed?'" Y'all say cleansed. "But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole.'" Y'all say whole. There's a difference in being cleansed and being made whole. It's the biggest difference, and it's a night and day. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. We thank you, God, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that's impossible for you. Lord, we know you healed the lepers, you cleansed the lepers, and you even made them whole. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, Lord, each and every person this day, Lord. Let them feel your power and your anointing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, today is the first day of a powerful journey, more than before, with God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The power of Thanksgiving. I told you I was going to be in the cockpit. I've already got out of the cockpit. Let me get back in the cockpit over here. Amen. God is so good. And there's one of the greatest powers to everyone. Everyone, one of the greatest powers available to everybody in this place, rich, young, poor, old, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter anything. One of the greatest powers available to us as a child of God is Thanksgiving. I think sometimes we don't realize just how powerful Thanksgiving is. And when you take Thanksgiving and you blend it with faith, and when you blend it with praise, it becomes a threefold cord that's not easily broken. It becomes something that is so powerful in your life that your life changes the moment you start. Not, you know, you got to take some kind of medicine. Some medicines it takes hours to work. Some medicines take weeks to work. Some even take months to actually get into the system. This one right here will work immediately as you begin to induce this into your life. So this threefold cord that cannot be broken is very powerful. This scripture right here has even got more powers. And so we're going to talk about these powers. And when I get down to the end, it's really, really, really what God's been talking to me this week about. And like I said, I talked a little about it Tuesday night. Number one, I did put the headlines up. There's the power of trouble. Trouble. It said he was going between Jerusalem and Samaria. He was in between what the Jews considered a good area, but a bad area on this side, and what the Samaritans considered a good area on this side, but a bad area on that side. But trouble has a unifying effect. I remember being in the cancer center with Bethany, and there was people from all races, all ages, all backgrounds, all ethnicities. But you know what? When they got in that cancer center, things changed. And I remember that day so, it just burnt in my mind. That day, I was trying to make me some coffee, and I was sitting outside because Bethany was asleep. And this is right after Linda had had that blood clot. And so Linda couldn't be there. So I'm sitting outside. Linda's in her room down there with the blood clot, and Bethany's right here, and she's asleep. And so I was just going to make some coffee because they did have a coffee pot there, coffee maker. And this lady came in, and I noticed that she had been there for a couple of days, but I hadn't had a chance to speak to her because it was always in passing. And this day, I stopped and I talked to her. And I said, how you doing? She says, I'm doing okay. She said, who you got in here? And I said, my daughter. And I said, she said, well, what's going on with your daughter? And I said, well, my daughter has melanoma, stage 4, and it is everywhere. It's all over her body. And she was very concerned. And I said, well, who do you have up here? She said, my son. Honestly, I was thinking like, you know, a regular guy, and he's still a regular guy. But then she said, I said, what's wrong with him? She said, he's got a brain tumor. And I said, I'm so sorry. She said, it's looking bad. I said, I'm so sorry. And I said, well, what does your son do for a living? She said, he's a neurosurgeon. And it hit me. Here's Bethany, who worked at the Dollar Tree and a neurosurgeon. One had all these years of training and all this opportunity ahead of him. He's dying of cancer. Bethany's dying of cancer. And so at that moment, you know what? It didn't matter. It's kind of like being at Emmaus. You go to Emmaus, it don't matter that you're sitting with a doctor and a lawyer. And then over here, you got a, you may have somebody that's not even working anywhere and somebody else that may be working at the Five and Dime, and you're all together. And you don't even worry about it, because when you get there, there's that unifying effect. Same way, trouble helps us unify. That's why church is so important. Because when we get in church, if we'll leave our titles outside and just come in, something very powerful will happen. So they're unified first in spirit, said through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Under normal circumstances, these people are bitter enemies. Matter of fact, the people in Jerusalem called Samaria the slums, and the people in Samaria called Jerusalem the slums. But right now, they've got something in common. So now they're unified in spirit. Not only unified in spirit, but unified in purpose, because it said they lifted their voices to Jesus. That word lifted means they literally lifted their voices in unison together. So, the power of trouble is it's got a unifying effect, but more than normal, it's normal though that a lot of times trouble has a dividing effect. Now, how does trouble have a dividing effect? When you're seeking to place blame instead of spread hope, guess what happens? Trouble. And it's not good. So when I see something going on in trouble, I ask God, God, help me be an instrument of grace and an instrument of hope. Because all of us will go into situations this week where honestly, we might not rather not even be going into, but many times God calls us into these situations, even though we don't want to be. Amen? So, the power of trouble, it unifies us. Okay? Then there's the power of His Word. You know, He said, go show yourself to the priest. In order for somebody to be healed from leprosy, they had to show themselves to the priest, and the priest would make the decision if they were being healed, and then the priest would make them stay away for a while as he was watching to make sure that they were healed. So, let me tell you something. There's nothing more powerful in this world. Why do you think Satan tries so hard to either keep the Word of God from going out or keep us from talking the Word of God or wants to turn it around? There's nothing more powerful than the Word of the living God. I like this. It's so powerful. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by faith. I got the Amplified version here. By faith we understand the worlds during the successive ages was framed, fashioned, put in order, equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Your life right now, you may be saying, God, can I draw again? Hey, God, can I get a mulligan? God, is there some way I can do this over again? Not knowing that God's going to use everything in your life to help somebody else. Everything in your life to help somebody else. So there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Go show yourself to the priest. The Word of God has the power to change all situations in every circumstance. Everyone, y'all say everything. It can change it, amen? So there's the power of His Word. Then there is the power of faith in His Word. It's one thing to have His Word spoken to you. Before I got saved, His Word was spoken to me all the time. Even now, sometimes I hear the Word being spoken, but I'm so busy doing something else. I heard the Word, but I didn't ingest the Word. You ever been there? You hear the Word, you're sitting here in church. If you're not careful, you can get in church, and all of a sudden your mind just wanders away going, why is that light flickering? I wonder how many lumens that PowerPoint projector's got. You know, why does the pastor have a cowlick? And so while you're looking at all this stuff, all of a sudden the word's going to you, but it's not being ingested. I mean, it's not ingested, although the word's going, it's not ingested. So the word by itself is powerful, but once you ingest it and you have the power of faith in his word, that's when things start happening, because he said, go show yourself to the priest. Every Sunday, in one way or another, the Holy Spirit is telling you to go show yourself to the priest. In one way or another. But whether you go or not depends on your faith in what you hear. Amen? So there's the power of faith in his word. As they went, they were cleansed. Now this is very powerful right here. And this is getting ready to come into to what I say God's been talking to me all week about. Matter of fact, he was talking to him about it, and I go home as he's talking to him. I go home, and there's Andy Stanley, and of course he's not doing what I did, but he just used this scripture. And when he used this scripture, the Lord said, "See, I am talking to you." Okay, so I saw it again, and I was reminded. So watch, many times we make the mistake of trusting our feelings versus faith. I do it all the time. I'm sorry that I'm not as holy as you might think I may be. Amen? I blow it too. I have my problems too. I have frustrations too. But what I have found out is if I don't trust my feelings, but trust my faith, and usually, here's how it works. My feelings kick in, and after a while I say, why am I doing this? And then my faith kicks in. It's not like my faith, I'm going, thou shalt. No, usually when I'm at my ribs, say I'm like the other guys. Why did you bring us here to kill us, God? Oh, I know, y'all never do that, so please forgive me. I'll go to y'all for holiness lessons. But look. But then it hits me, wait a minute, lift the rod, lift the word, and let the word do what this word does best. So they applied the word to the problem. You know, a lot of us, if we listen carefully, because this is easier said than done. And there's nothing wrong with talking to people about your problems. It's okay. If you talk to somebody, you're not spreading it around like you're in a broadcaster and you're spreading out seed all over the yard. But it's okay to have a comrade or somebody close to you that can help you. It's okay to talk to them. So that's not all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about counseling. I'm talking about this. If we can stop talking to our problem and start talking about our problem and start talking to our problem, things will change. We're talking about them. You know, all the children of Israel with Goliath, they were talking about Goliath, the problem. They kept talking about the problem. He's too big. He's too scary. He just wants one man. And there's not a one man here that wants to do this. But then David come along and didn't talk about the problem. They would come along and talk to the problem. That's the difference. We all have that problem. Amen? Usually, it's after I've hit my head against that, you know, just like that rubber tree plant. You know, whatever that little old ant, everyone knows an ant can't hit a rubber tree plant, but he had dumb faith. He had no faith. Guess what? It's after I hit my head a couple times, then I go, wait a minute. Why am I talking, engaging with Satan when I can talk to the problem and say, wait a minute, I'm going to take God's word. So, as they went, they were cleansed. That word cleansed means to make clean, to purge. Now, when people get leprosy, there's all kinds of thoughts on this, but when people get leprosy and their skin starts deteriorating, their limbs get so bad off, and they lose all the feeling in certain limbs. And as they lose all the feelings, as they're laying out, rodents eat them and they don't even know it. So their fingers get eat off. Sometimes they even fall off. So between falling off and rodents eating them because they can't feel it. So what this was saying is if the lepers came up and they didn't have any fingers left or they didn't have an arm left or they didn't have an ear left or an eye left or a lip left, because they She went and showed themselves to the priest. They put the power of the word in their life. They were cleansed, but they still had the scars. Y'all say scars. They still had the scars. They still had the no lip, or they still had no fingers, or they still had no arm, because they were cleansed, meaning they can be around people now. They can get back into society. They can make a difference in society. They didn't realize they were limiting God, in turn limiting their self. Some of us in here right now, I'd love to blow Skittles out right now, and y'all go, hey, check them out, catch them. But this isn't a Skittle time, okay? Some of y'all are limiting God and limiting your life because you've done the first part. You've put the word in it. But that's as far as you've gone. You've been cleansed. You're back in society. But the scars get in your way. So God cleansed me, but I've got no fingers. How am I going to use this pen? God cleansed me, but I still don't have an arm. How am I going to be able to work properly? That's where a lot of people are. They've been cleansed, but that's where they've left it. They're better, but the scars get in the way. You know, I'm about to come up with some kind of symbol because it's kind of like PTSD. PTSD, you're no longer there, but the scars from the incident keep preventing you from living a good life. The scars keep you hyperactive and hypervigilant, and when you hear something, you're ready to jump because that PTSD has got you. The scars. The scars are hindering your life. Many of you in here today have a spiritual type of PTSD. You've been cleansed, but the scars stay in your way. Maybe it's the scars from a previous relationship. Maybe it's the scars right now, and you're trying to work it out with family members and work it out with people that you work with, but you just can't because the scars are in the way. You're cleansed, but the scars are in the way. That's why my relationship's still hindered. That's why my life is still hindered. That's why I'm still out there, but I'm only operating under the radar with less than what I can operate with. So now, this is the power of Thanksgiving. He said, the Samaritan come back and started praising. Jesus looks back at the Samaritan and says, where's the nine? Where's everybody? And he said, I'm the only one here. They've gone and done what you said, but they wouldn't come back. You see, so many times we get caught up in the gift versus the giver. And when you get caught up in the gift versus the giver, again, well, I can't communicate with them. I can't go back in that. The scars are in my way. And you keep asking God to take the scars away. And I'm going to tell you how to take them away right now. But you got to be willing and obedient. One, turn back. One. The Samaritan, the one that was not even under the covenant, the one that you would think was the sorriest of all of them, he came back. Now, have you ever had a need from God and you just couldn't quit praying about it? You give God everything you got. God, I need you to do this. God, you've got to do this. God, I need you to spread the part to see. God, you got to do it. If you don't do it, it won't be done. Anybody ever been like that? after he did it, what'd you do? Hey, cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. Did you use the same intensity of thanksgiving as you did for asking? When we need from God, we can get very, very, very intense, but a lot of times when we get it, we don't use the same intensity to thank Him. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. That is an ouchie or amen moment right there. We are so intent on that need being met, but after the need, he may get a thanks, bro. Wow. One turn back. Now let me just kind of go back with this. Today, we're talking about Thanksgiving. We need a life of Thanksgiving. I'm talking about one that's so intense that we can thank God with the same intensity that we ask God. I am guilty of this myself. I'll go, thank you, Lord. Oh, I got down and prayed hard. I mean, I prayed hard. I prayed and I fasted. I said, God, whatever I need to do, I'll put my beard out. Whatever, you was sitting in a heap of ashes and shave my head, whatever you want, God. But after it's done, I just go, thank you. Wow. So a life of thanksgiving, first, is going to cause direction. Because he had a life of thanksgiving that drew him closer. But only to draw him closer, he had a distinction. He cried with a loud voice. And he glorified God, which means to make God big. He saw that he was cleansed. And so he said, wait a minute. I can't go show myself to the priest yet. I got to go thank God for what he did. And so now, with a loud voice, he says, God, you're awesome. You are bigger than life. There's something I could not do on my own. Thank you, God. It caused him to even deny himself. When other guys were running to the priest, he fell down at his feet. Wow. Now, when you do that, here's some dynamics. And here's where you, if you can get this today, you will change your relationship with God forever. Forever. Dynamics of thanksgiving. Jesus said, arise. Of course, that means strength. You get up. When you have leprosy, they're very, very weak because it's not just an outside thing, it's an inside thing. And usually death is what's going to happen as a result of it. So you're being eaten away on the inside and the outside. So he said, arise. So he gained strength. He said, go your way. He gained freedom. But here it comes. He said, your faith has made you whole. Wow. Your faith has made you whole. Now remember, all 10 of them were cleansed. And then what cleansed means, again, if you've lost it, it took away the sores. It took away the goo that was running. It took away the mucus and all the infection. It took it away. So now they're cleansed, but they still have scars. He came back and he said, your faith has made you whole. The difference in cleansing and whole is this. This is cleansing. The infection is gone, but it's still like this. I'm left with scars. We all got scars. Every last one of us have got scars. And we would love to go past those scars. And it's hard to go past some of those scars. Very hard to go past some of those scars. When he came back and fell down at his feet, and praised Him and glorified Him. He said, your faith has made you whole, which means to be restored. It means to be put back to the original state. So 9 were cleansed, but 10 was made whole. Let me ask you a question. Are you tired of this? Are you tired of that? Are you ready to see God take you to the next level? Are you ready to go to the next level? The man at the Pool of Bethesda has been there 38 years. There's some way in the world he could have gotten that pool. He could have stuck him right by it. He could have fell in it. Something. And Jesus went to him and didn't say, you poor, poor, pitiful. He said, I've been here for 38 years. And nobody's here. He said, why? What's going on? He said, there's nobody to put me in. Everybody gets in before I get there. And Jesus just looked at him and said, you poor, poor, pitiful thing. Here, let me help you. No. He said, do you really want to be made whole? Do you really want it? Some of us are so comfortable in our dysfunction, the scars, that we're scared for this. Well, we got this. We got an excuse for our actions. We've got an excuse for the way we act. We got an excuse for the way we handle things because we've been cleansed, but we're not whole. With that leper, he's made whole. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Some of us have learned to function so good in our dysfunction, you would not even think there was a dysfunction. God sees it. Here, shake hands with me. Oh, I can't. Let's do this. I can't. Why? Because I got these scars. God says, I want to make you whole. So, today, I've got these papers out to you. I hope everybody's got some. If you don't have any, let me know. I got plenty. I want you to think of three things in your life. That really, really, really you thank God for. Tuesday night, I just said, I appreciate God and salvation. I appreciate my wife. And I appreciate the church and my church folks and family. That was my three the other day. So I'm just going to tell you that so you might know what to say. I don't know what you're thankful for. Some of them, after this sermon, some of y'all might put down, I'm thankful that he finally quit. He shut up. My toes are sore. He shut up. Praise God. Now I can pull my feet back in. But if you can find something in your life, three words or less, three items, stick it on the refrigerator, stick it in your car, stick it in your Bible. And I don't mean just go, thanks, dude. Thank you very much. I mean with intensity. Here comes a bigger challenge. That's why everybody should have got two. If you don't, you can get a second one. If you can put in three different places where scars are holding you back. And with the same intensity, that you ask God to do something, thank Him, and guess what? A whole lot of y'all have been finding out that you're going to be made whole. When we thank God, it needs to be intense. Just like our prayer, it needs to be intense. And when the Lord just keeps telling me, I need you to thank me, thank me, thank me, thank me, thank me, thank me. And as you thank me, that's the purest form of faith. Because when I thank God, I'm thanking Him while I'm like this. But I'm believing He's going to do something. So as I'm thanking Him, I can see this happen. So, everybody got one. He's here for you. I can make more. There's a limited supply, but we got a copy machine. I can make another limited supply. I got the master copy right here. Try this. 1 week. And watch the difference in your relationship with God, number one. In your relationship with the world and with others, number two. And watch what God will do. Brandon, go on ahead, bro. Play something. Everybody stand. I remember, this is crazy about it. Just remembered it. I've told y'all before. We at one time all had a common, all three shifts had a common common toolbox. Right up the Sear toolbox is up high. And some of those guys, instead of getting a smaller screwdriver, they would go and bore off the tip, just bore off the edge to make it smaller. And some of the guys, I did mainly electrical, some of the guys did hydraulic, pneumatic, and I'm trying to do electrical work on these trucks, and I'm grabbing tools that have got grease all over them because they didn't even clean them off. Just threw them back in the toolbox. Get on them every week. It didn't matter. But I distinctly remember one day, the toolbox was right behind me. I was working out of the tray. As I'm working out of the tray, and I'm working on the truck. And if you've ever seen the back of an electric lift truck, it is massive. It's like looking in the back of a couple of TVs. It's massive. I'm in there, and I'm working. And I'm so concentrating on what's going on. And I said, wait a minute, I need a wrench so I can take loose this wire. And I reached up and I grabbed a tool out of the drawer. And I wanted to be courteous to my other fellow workers. And so I went to push the drawer too. When I went to push the drawer too, one of those guys left the other drawer open. And it skint and cut all four fingers. And I went, ugh! And I wanted to holler. I wanted to scream. And all I heard from the Holy Spirit was, praise me. And I said, God, I don't feel like praising you at this moment. And all I could hear was, praise me, praise me, praise me, praise me. I looked at my fingers, they were still numb and hurting at the same time, and blood's running down. I said, okay, God. And so I grabbed a paper towel and I put my fingers together and I said, praise you, God. Thank you so much for taking care of this. Thank you, Lord. God, you're awesome. And I watched the guys I was working with stop what they were doing and watch me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that thanking that time was not for you. It was for me, and it's for those guys around you. And I heard about that multiple times afterwards, how they saw the blood, this everything. But they remember me, instead of cussing and carrying on, I was praising God. I was thanking God for that. That time, the power of thanksgiving was for everybody around me. every head bowed, every eye closed. You don't even have to raise your hand, but I know everybody in here has got scars. That's part of life. Scars. One thing I know about scars is they show the point of injury. They also show the point of where God touched you and there was healing, cleansing. But also, the scar becomes numb. Some of us in here right now, we got some scars. We got hurt. Number two, the scars show that God did cleanse. But number three, that scar makes you numb or makes you act a little different in certain situations. If you can learn to thank God with the same intensity that you pray, you'll go from cleansing to being made whole. With every head bowed, nobody looking around. How many would get real right this moment? I'm not going to call you out. How many would get real right now and say, Pastor, I got some scars holding me back. Would you put that hand up? I got scars holding me back. My hand's up too. How many are ready to go from being cleansed to being made whole? Put that hand up again. We're going to pray right now. This is not your average Thanksgiving service, but I promise you that this is a life-changing service. It will change your viewpoint entirely. I want us to pray this together. Father, you're awesome. You know what we need before we even ask. But you want us to ask. And Lord, we have many times. Well, right now, God, I need you to forgive me for not having the same intensity with Thanksgiving. God, help me from this day forth to thank you with everything I've got. God, I'm ready to be made whole in many areas. And so I thank you right now, and I trust you in the name of Jesus. There's many scars, but they'll never outrun grace. They will never overload your grace. We take it right now in the name of Jesus. Now when everybody look up, I'm going to put your hands up. Put your hands up to heaven. Turn your antenna to heaven. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to try something. Some of y'all might do this all the time anyway. I don't know. I'm not with you. But I want you, with the most intensity that you can think of at this moment, sometimes it's hard to grasp the intensity because the scars are so powerful. But with everything you got, I want you to think about those scars, and I want you to praise God. Let it rip with that intensity, and watch this service turn into a life-changing service. Ready? Father, I thank you. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're a great God. We glorify you, God. You see the scars. You know they're there. God, you know you've cleansed us, but God, we need more than a cleansing. We need to be made whole. We praise you, God. We thank you, God, for everything you've done for us. Thank you, God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're awesome. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for being whole. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God is so awesome. This week, I want you to practice thanking Him. I mean, thank Him. I don't mean like, yeah, dude, thanks, bro. I mean, let it rip, tater chip, and watch what happens. All right? Now, guys, y'all don't go anywhere because the ladies want, they need some packed meals. So we're gonna bring the stuff out, the decorations out for the ladies. So they, because the ladies can do it, but we sure help a lot. How many know that men are 80% muscle and women are 40% muscle? How many knew that? That's true. Yeah. So because of that, they need our help. Okay, that is a true statement. All right, ready? That's the end of the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother Steve dismisses us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, Brother Steve.